Glory to God. How many would like to see Crossfire shut down? You know, every time we don't come to church and we can, we're voting to shut the church down. Amen? There's churches shutting down all across the United States, hundreds of them. People are leaving the church. That's called the great falling away in the last time. People don't see the importance anymore. But I tell you what, with God's help, we're going to stay here. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
Is being faithful to God, not me, to God, we're going to stay faithful to the Lord too.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. Again, it's not the idea of the volume of people. It's whose hearts want to come and worship Him. That's what we want to do here. But I wanted to say today, too, that there's many Christians in Africa right now. I think it's specifically in Nigeria. I heard a number, I don't know if it's accurate or not, 16 million Christians throughout Africa right now are being persecuted severely.
Yeah.
And they're being murdered.
Yeah.
And it's getting to be a big deal. It's gone to Congress right now, too, to see if they get somebody to help stop it. And so we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Africa.
Yeah.
And persecution is going to come to America too. And we need to be ready. That's why I preach hard, not soft messages. You preach soft messages and you got soft Christians. Amen?
Amen.
You preach hard messages and you become solid. Messages are usually a little harder than normal, but they're really soft compared to some preachers I listen to. But anyway, I'm glad you're here today. I thanked up another missionary because this is a very mission-minded church. Michael and Elizabeth Kramer, missionaries of Southeast Africa. Great work over there, spreading the gospel as well as doing service for the people there. And so they're new on board too, and we're putting money into them because we believe that. So again, this church is ministering throughout the world. Amen?
Amen.
Come on now, people. You got to get more excited.
Amen.
That. Glory to God. We just glory the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So, but today feels vitally important. And by the way, I think Brian said it too, to honor our king. You know, yesterday was what? The No King Day?
Yeah.
Must have worked. There's no king.
No.
So, you know, whether that was through prayer or what, there's no king. So it worked, whatever they were doing. But I tell you what, they forgot that there is a king.
Yes.
And he's the can't wish away.
Yes. Sure.
They can't protest him. They can't march down the streets. They can't do any of that because when this king shows up,
yes,
confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
So I thank God that we already have a king.
Yes.
He's just not in front of us right now, but soon and very soon can shout all they want and complain and gripe. Kind of like the enemy is scared and he was shouting through all these people, no king, no king, because the enemy, we can say, praise the Lord and mean it.
Amen.
Glory to God. So my message today is a vitally important one too, I believe, in the as we see darkness cross the land, the world and everything, what's in your heart comes out your mouth. What's in your heart? I brought your Bibles today too. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Heavenly Father, we're here this morning to worship, asking that your anointing flow through this place. Lord, challenge us with your word. Let it encourage us also, Father, for even that you're doing a great work in our life. You're meeting all of our social desires and in hearts, Father, that people have in addition to. But Lord, we need to be Holy Spirit speaking to each one of our hearts and realize this is not to bring condemnation, but to bring conviction into our hearts that we will walk with you, glorify you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody shouted.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Got to get that shout on, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Hoorah.
Hoorah. That's a good one too. Yeah. But I'm not here this morning to judge anyone you're watching by social media, but only to bring attention to the words that we speak that can warn of dangers from cursing. You think there's much of that? It's everywhere. It's on the news. It's in Hollywood. It's on the social media. Growing up, you hardly ever heard a swear word, even in the home. People were ashamed if you heard somebody swear. Not today. Even within the church, behind pulpits, preachers are swearing today. It's coming from the pew all the way to the pulpit. And it's doing damage because they're hearing it. They're hearing moms and dads use foul language. They're seeing mom and dad watching movies on TV where continually. And it's affecting the home, whether we believe it or not. It brings, as the scriptures are teaching, out of evil hearts. And there's evil hearts out there, and they're speaking. And our politicians, you can't hardly hear a thing anymore that somebody's cursing and using foul language. And God hears every single word of it. And we need to bring it to attention to use curse words, especially within the walls of a church, and we're here to worship our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's not acceptable. I do anything like that within a church, whether it be that or fornication, adultery, whatever it is. Anything that is tearing down is not condoned.
Amen.
John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth.
Yes.
Thy word is truth."
Amen.
This is truth.
Amen.
The whole book, not just part of it or certain words. The whole book is truth. You know, it's what's being done there. It's the process of, I want to bring that to your attention. Sanctification. That's what God does. When we get born again, God wants to sanctify us. Sanctification. And that from the world to serve, to serve the Lord. That's what God's doing. To make us holy. That's what sanctification 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is what brings sanctification, not me,
Amen.
Not you. And we need to remember that. It's being made holy. It's what it's doing. It's bringing transformation to our character. That once the way we were, once we come to God when we obey it. Before I got saved, I used to tell dirty jokes and do cursing and all the things the world does too. But when I got saved, not because I'm great and wonderful, I quit because I was reading in the Word of God that God does not want me to do it. And so with the Lord's help, I don't do it. About that today, where it's so loosey-goosey within society and within the church today, that cursing is everywhere. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the Christians need to go out in the world and be different from the world, too. When you see Christians standing and laughing at the filth of the world, there's a problem. This is such an important topic for everybody. Our words are very powerful in what we speak. What our children hear come out of our mouths, our grandkids, whatever. Oh, by the way, I wanted to say this. A brand new baby in our family.
Woo!
A little baby boy by Eden Testa, my great niece. So now I'm a great, great aunt. And so we're proud of little Baker. A little dude. Now, so I hope mom and dad remember that. He starts here in church.
Amen.
By King of the World, little Baker.
Amen.
I had to get that out.
All right.
Job 27, verse 4. Nor my tongue utter deceit. The Bible teaches that what we say often shows what really is. One time went to a funeral and he told us from the pulpit, when he was at that funeral, he was so discouraged because of things that were happening in that place. Go behind the curtain, and he said, I walked back and forth back there and I was swearing and I was so upset. And I think, why would you tell a congregation in his heart was coming out? And that's what we got to think about today. What's coming out of your mouth is really what's in your heart. Our spiritual well-being and our connection with God by what's coming out of our mouth. Why do people curse? Why? Is it in something that's gone wrong? Is it carelessness of the tongue? Has it become a habit in our life where we don't even know we're doing it anymore? Is it a lack of spiritual? You can find in Jeremiah 7:9 and Genesis 6:5, God is talking about man's heart, how evil it is. That's really the problem. And we need to guard those hearts once we come to Christ too. In a negative or harmful words are spoken, it may indicate underlying issues in one's, and you're still using curse words. You better check out and examine your heart. Because the Bible said all things that become new creatures born again means.
Amen.
But if you're not seeing any growth pattern in your life from the point where you gave your life to Christ and you're still doing that, one, you might want to check your heart. You might have a heart problem. And it's a very serious heart problem. Because if it's dealing with that, be honest with you again, okay? Everybody want me to be honest?
Yeah. Amen.
Only not even half of you. Okay, well, I'm going to be honest anyway.
Amen.
In some cases, it's more than simply a slip of the tongue. And we Christians should watch what we say. The Bible warns us of those who curse can be dead. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Paul also describing talking to the pagans, talking to Israel. But I was thinking about that. We need to be mindful of our speech as Christian people in this world that have the evil hearts, and he warns them of what's coming out of their mouths and things. What Paul was describing in Romans and even in Psalms here, still using curse words? You bet we could. God's not a respecter of persons.
That's right.
If the professing Christian uses curse, Paul's description applied to them. I want to say that again. Would it apply to them? And that puts us in a whole different category.
Yeah.
Proverbs 18:21 says, "They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Matthew 12:37, "For by thy words thou shalt be condemned." God said that, I didn't. Our words are vitally important, and they are bombarded with, you name it, it's all around us every single day. And our young people are looking at that on their telephones, and they're looking at it on the internet, and on television, concerts, everywhere we go, it's foul, even the music, the words in the music. God takes that seriously. And we're bringing condemnation, or watching, and we're guilty of allowing curse words to come out of our mouth, whether you're angry or not. God's desire is for all of us to live. I ask the Holy Spirit always to help me. You know? You know the guy that hits his thumb with a hammer out. I remember growing up and hearing that. But I tell you what, now when I get hurt, I've hit my thumb with a hammer since I've been saved. It's for me. But I did it and I said, "Praise the Lord, that hurts. Lord, take the hurt away." But I used to do. And it takes work. It takes the Holy Spirit to help us to speak right language, doesn't it? Some people have long used profanity and many still do. Behind their walls in their homes, and they think nobody knows. My wife and I were on a trip one time with some friends, supposedly. We were in our camper, they were in theirs. And one night they got into it, and we heard every profanity we could. God hears in private too. And if you're in your home and you're an angry person and you're using curse words to intimidate all, and he marks down every single curse word, too. He knows them. As you know, more recently, foul language has become commonplace, as I said earlier. Not just, and we heard it yesterday from politicians. That ought to know better. That are supposed to be statesmen to express their disgust. Finding a TV show, a movie, music, or novel that does not use profanity and even advertisements, so-called family entertainment. They get this one ridiculous advertisement that comes on, I don't know how many times a day, called Dash Sun. This woman comes on, she said, she uses God's name in vain. But it's others too. You can't get away from it. won't even watch programming, because if I don't, I'm going to pick it up. It's going to become a habit in my own life. Because if I'm condoning it, his foot in the door to get a hold of my life and my family. And I gotta make that decision as a Christian man. And I've been more convicted of that more in the last probably year than ever before, for whatever reason. Because I want to honor him. Amen. To say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
But if I'm condoning it in the privacy of my home, who am I to stand up here and preach to you? But even if everything done, they scream free speech today. And even if moral, and it doesn't make acceptable to God. How many are glad you come to church today?
Amen.
People out there. But it is each of our jobs as true Christians to honor God with our speech. It's not my responsibility to stop. I already gave you just a few scriptures, and there's lots of them. What God thinks about what comes out of our mouth. God's word establishes absolute no corrupt communication. Say no corrupt communication.
No corrupt communication.
Proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, your grace unto the hearers. Maybe husbands need to start saying different things to their wives. Amen. Different words to their husband.
Amen.
It's kind of funny. I just saw this thing here where this guy is standing at the bathroom door, sitting there pointing a finger at him and saying certain things to him like this here and everything. And he's standing there with puppy eyes. Why, he never puts the lid down. But then the wash basins, which is covered with the woman's makeup stuff and brushes everywhere, where he couldn't even set anything down. And again, there are four kinds of speech that we should be serious about deleting from our language. We should not be cursing. We should not be doing that. The American Dictionary defines profane as showing contempt or irreverence toward God or sacred things. The American Dictionary involves referring to anything holy in the way that mocks or ridicules it or otherwise fails to show proper respect or reference to it. And look, it's coming out of the woodwork at concerts especially, and the youth of America flood in there by the thousands and sit there, and gals who are using that, mocking God. Our kids go to it and hear it. Some people profane the name of God, the name God, Jesus, Christ, Jehovah, or disgust or in light, flippant way, in amazement or surprise. That's profanity. However you're using it, whether you're out of flippancy, it's wrong if it's not done in reverence. Likewise, others profane sacred things such as heaven. In other words, we're not even to swear by hell. God does not want us. And how many times do you hear hell in one day? That's where lost souls end up for all eternity, in an eternal hell. God does not want us to be using that as curse. And is the practice of referring disrespectfully to acts of worship such as prayer, the words of spiritual songs. We make light of prayers even in church sometimes. A Hollywood Amazing Grace is one of the biggest ones that is abused and used as profanity. Various Bible phrases such as, they don't even know what they're saying. That means praise the Lord, and they don't even realize it. But it's used in the wrong intention, not in reverence, and it becomes profanity. And Hollywood's so guilty of that. That is what the Bible says about profanity. In Ezekiel 22:26, her priests have, that's the Old Testament. Okay, listen to this. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the unclean and the clean and Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Isn't that right up today? Isn't that right up when you hear a preacher standing behind a pulpit using the D word, the H word, the F word, and using them behind the pulpit? And it's still being done today. You can find that in 1 Peter 4:11. We learn that priests of Israel were guilty of profaning God's holy things. Common. And that's why people are confused today. Young people are confused today about religion, Christianity. So to treat holy things as though Leviticus 10:10, the Lord says, and they, that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. And today the word evil. And it's up to our job, the church, the born-again Christians, to be salt and light today in this world. How we respond, how we're making conversation, whatever we're doing, wherever we're doing, how we talk, the words that are coming out of our mouth. The world's taking note, not because of the world. They're doing what they do good, sin. Like we used to. But the church is what is guilty. This is the problem of profanity. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, God says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless. Is that commandment still in effect?
Yes.
You bet it is. You bet it is. The Hebrew word translated in vain in the King James, meaningless, uselessness, without substance and without proper respect. When we take God's name in vain, that's what we're saying to the world. You know, it's significant that pagans never take the name of their gods in vain. Do you ever hear Muslims say anything about Allah? You ever hear them say anything? No. But Christians will use God's name in vain. Doesn't that make you think? Why? Apostate Christians take God's name in vain. God's name is so special. And by it, he's inviting intimacy with you and I to come alongside him. The Bible often speaks about how wonderful and sacred the name of God is. On 11:9 speaks of his name. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever, holy and reverend. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Nehemiah 9:5, the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be the glorious name. The glorious name which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But yet we do. 9 and 10. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. See how special the name of God is? Do we use his name in vain as the church? To expect Satan to try to find ways to pervert our use of it. I listen to some preachers on the internet. They will continually keep using, after every phrase, one after another. There's no reverence there. They're doing it for emphasis. One of them, in verse in Isaiah 52:5, where God is mourning the plight of his people and listing the evils of that day. It says, now therefore, what have I here? That made God feel bad. They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord. And my name continually every day is blasphemed. God takes knowledge when we blaspheme his name. And it hurts him like crazy when it's especially from his people. Have you ever thought Serve's name is blasphemed? Every single day in the world, how many times that's happening? The God who loves us, who sent Jesus every single day. But I'm just going to share a few ways that people in the world and the church misuse an area that you do. And you need the Holy Spirit to help you to stop doing it. First, God's name should not be used as an exclamation point. Use the name as God had to express reactions of all sorts of emotions. I'm not going to say the words because I do not want to do that. I want to get the examples. A person hears some startling news or amazement or excitement and responds, OMG. Oh my God, is people within the church, let alone the world. Or they may see rather gruesome scenes and whisper, our Lord, and sometimes they'll say Jesus Christ in swear words. I've heard many Christians say Jesus for an exclamation. That will be the excuse at Judgment Day. But look at what the person is doing. They're using the holy name of God as a mere synonym for, oh, you're... You hear something? Oh, wow! Why do you have to use God's name in vain? But we use God's name in vain. I can't believe it! I can't believe it! That's terrible. But no, we use God's name in place. OMG. Or Jesus. Many Christian people are guilty of this type of misuse. It's a way of sounding spiritual. Some people say, praise the Lord, with such many people say, God bless you, without even considering those words. We're hearing that phrase multiple times from people that are not even... People do it in the church because it's a way of saying something and they don't even really mean it. God bless you. And they don't really mean it. Do you see the problem with the things of substance and genuineness? That's the only time we should be using his name. Not as a flippant thing because we're a Christian. Is the reverence when we do it that way. His name is not a cliche, and we should not use it unless we deeply mean what we say. If I walk, I better mean it. God loves you. Or if I walk up and you tell me something and praise the Lord. I really need it. Praise the Lord because he's the result of the testimony you just gave me. So I'm only encouraging, I really become a cliche or a statement. Thirdly, God's name should not be used as an endorsement. Our society, our popular people, leaves credibility to what one says or does. And today it's more and more popular anyway because of the movement that's been going on. And people will use these. They only say that because they know it will attract certain people. But they don't mean it. They only want the cha-ching. That's what they want from with the King of Kings for personal gain. Some companies. I don't believe that God wants his name if marketed for people's selfish purposes. I don't really believe that a Christian businessman or woman would be a Christian businessman or a businesswoman. But you don't have to name your company Praise the Lord Lumber Company. Or would I? Something like that. But don't use God's name there if you really don't mean it and you're only doing it to... Fourth, God's name should not be used as a false, frivolous oath. Leviticus 19:12 says, "And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, I am the Lord." Deuteronomy 5:11, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name by the people of this world in the wrong way." We know from these passages that God does not want to use his name in a vain oath. He does not want that done. Taking certain oaths like if the president of the United States or a lawyer or a judge or you need to make an oath, that's the proper way to do it, bringing God into it. But it's wrong to invoke the name of God to certify some trivial matter. Someone might say, "Help me, God. I'm going to see him tomorrow or the next day or whatever." I say the Lord willing, and I mean it. I've witnessed vendors coming in the church here. They say, one guy says, "What do you mean?" I said, "I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. I got to depend upon God because he's the one that gives me every new day." Amen. That's why I can have made and be glad in it. He gives me every day. I thank God for my beautiful birthday wife today. Amen. She's just really mad at me now for saying that. God gave her another day. You older saints in here, don't ever complain about your age. Thank God for every single day, for every single day. Or someone might say, "I promise you, I didn't eat that last donut. God is my witness." There are times in Scripture when Paul calls God to witness that some statements of his is true when you go in there, because I wanted to bring that out. Paul would you said, "Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not," because he was preaching the gospel to the lost. And he wanted to know it was because of wherever I called God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. That was a good time. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. There's a time when we use it in the proper reverence, but not frivolous. But today, it's being done. It's not wrong to use the name of God for the purpose of taking an oath that's legitimate, solemn, and proper, but it's wrong. I hope that we are not taking the holy name of God and using them as nothing more than common expressions of anger, disgust, or trivial. If you to help not do it and ask him to forgive. It happens. It's going to happen. And if you're guilty of it, you need to ask God to forgive you. Because reverence and context of honor. Obliterating obscenities. Expressions of immoral, sensual speech are simply not compatible. And that's a big deal. I hate to always have to keep bringing it up, but it's within the walls of the church as well. It's in Christian movies. It's even in... Don't ever buy the Message Bible. If you got one, burn it. That which is obscene is defined in the Random House College Dictionary as offensive to modesty or decency, a sexual excitement or lust. We got to be careful what we're saying. We got to teach our young people this too when they're being exposed by it. They're bombarded with it. Too often in our society, jokes and humor contain sexual suggestions or double meanings. I've had Christians tell me, well, stop right there. I said, I used to do that. I don't do that anymore because Christ lives in me. I'm no better than you. But I don't do it anymore because it's making the mind go a direction it shouldn't. And how many of you know that when you come to Christ, we have the mind of Christ?
Amen.
It's good to see problems or anything in your life. Continue to speak the word of God. I have the mind of Christ. And you'll find out that your mind will become lived by God. Perhaps the worst and most obscenity of the day is called the F-bomb. I mean, it's unbelievable. And it is in TV, movies, music, school, the workplace, board meetings with PTA, people coming up there speaking, they use it. Present and past presidents using the F-bomb. Statesmen, that should not be talking like that. And that affects society with it. What does the Bible say about obscenity? Colossians 3:8. But now ye also, listen now, say this with me, put off all these. He told us to. He said, put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Look at how clearly Paul addresses that subject in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. Listen now. Listen. All uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. And I'm doing this in general for the church. Those why become as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Nor unclean person, nor covetous person, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Wow. Leave you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And when I read that, I think about how many in bad words to their congregation. Just because he's a preacher doesn't mean he's perfect. He's got an evil heart if he thinks he can get away with that. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving that is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship, prove them. That means expose them and witness. I did that from the pulpit on somebody. I won't say it again. A popular singer. He said, I love Jesus. Got ridiculed for that one. Well, God tells me right here to expose them. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, who should I listen to, that singer or God? Seriously. We need to pray for that man and all the other music artists and movie stars and work, whomever. If that's, this is serious business here. Not only are we wrong if we use such speech, but we are also wrong if we take pleasure in those who do them. Young people, older people, and when he said that, they all started clapping for him and shouting, yoo-hoo, ah-ha, whatever they were doing. And God, and those that do those things, we need to be praying for these ungodly pagans that are not saved yet, and those ones that claim to be Christian and still live in the hearts before it's too late. This would include laughing at or enjoying being entertained by people who use such language, worldly concerts, as I said, movies on, and God's name comes up, shut it off. And continue to watch it, you're as guilty as the person who said it on the movie because you allowed it into your ear gate, put a foot in your door. And then he says, I'll get you so used to that you won't even know they say it anymore. I said to a guy who used God's name in vain all the time, and so I simply walked up to him and I said, I'm not going to say his name in case he's watching. You never know. I don't want to embarrass him if he ever would. I'd appreciate if you wouldn't use God's name in vain. I'm no better than you. But I said, I gave my life to Jesus and I love him now and I live. He said, I was doing that? I said, yeah, you were. Every time I talked to you. And you know what? From that point on, he never told him about. The Holy Spirit uses you and I when we open our mouth and we become salt. And that man went home and started witnessing to his wife, told him about the Lord. There's power in words. But we need to be actively in the nation, but to address it and let people know that it's not a right thing to do. Eliminating mild, indirect, or vague expression for one thought to be offensive, harsh, or blunt. That's out of the Random House College Dictionary. Words in place of a curse word, profanity, or obscenity. The substitute often means, see, I'm hitting on all cylinders. It often means the same, is used the same way. Sounds similar or obviously an altered form of objectionable word. Here's some examples. Dang, substitute for damn. That's what they use them for. Gosh or golly are euphemisms of alterations of God. Substitute for Jesus and jeepers creepers is a substitute for Jesus Christ. There's a song out, by the way, too, for us older ones. Heck is the substitute for hell. Freaking or frickin' is a substitute for the F-bomb. And G is an abbreviation of, oh my God, which Christians use all the time in talk. If the substitute means the same as a bad word, is used in the same way, even sounds similar, and is obviously just as altered, you're right to use the substitute in place of the bad word if it means the same thing. Doesn't it make sense that all the Bible principles? I would think so. Someone might respond, but that's not what I mean when I use those words, Pastor. That isn't what I mean. Some people may not think about the meaning and so may use them without realizing what they mean. But what about the influence on people who do know what they mean? And some of these other words I told you about, I know what they mean. Christians must always consider the way our conduct affects others, especially young, though we do not attempt them to sin like. You need to say, Holy Spirit, help me. Bring to my mind circumstances, whether it be excitement or trial or trouble. Guide me, Lord. Help me with my speech. Many people do know, meaning that they are easily recognizable with just a little thought. As soon as somebody says, heck, I think right, my mind goes right to what they said. There's so many more scriptures again, but boy, the Lord wants me to stop some point. I'm trying to always be nice to you and try to stay within the 50, 60 minute time. If I can go to 61, I'm going to do it. let the roast beef burn. We must always keep in mind that our words have the power of life and death. Amen?
Amen.
Our words are so important. How we speak to our children. I always care if you say, well, I was really angry. So what? God tells us in his word that we have the power to be the sons of God. But God says, you put it off. Don't say it. You know it's bad. Don't say it. We must keep in mind that we want to be the best example of godliness so we can be our work, our school. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is judgment. When you have frustration, when you have joy and excitement and the words are there, you can express them to whomever is listening to you in a way. The world will even look at somebody walking through a deep trial of life and they say, how can you do that and not be angry at God? How can you? People who have been divorced. The Christian that's been divorced, how they handle it's so vitally important. The words that come up. The world will look at somebody that's gone through a trial like that and say, man, I remember when it happened to me, man. I wanted to the moon, Alice, you know. Expletives like cursing and profanity and obscenity and foul language and euphemisms characterize those with the world whatsoever. We also must remember that God is concerned about the words we use. Jesus said, we'll meet them again in judgment. Matthew 12:30. Idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy... That's Jesus telling us that now. And I hope and pray that all of us will make that commitment. If we haven't already done so, rid our speech. James 5:12 says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other, nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. That's Jesus again, guiding us and leading us and helping us sanctify through his word. And I want to share just a quick short story here that I thought was really good, I found. But again, Christians, I want to say one more time about hell, because hell is where people are going to go if they don't get saved. We shouldn't be using that as a swear word. People are doomed to hell. We should not use that in any respect. I'm using that one because it's so prevalent everywhere. This positive, telling story. In 2009, McKay Hatch was a skinny 15-year-old with braces on his teeth. Children. And at the time he played soccer, rode a unicycle, and said he liked Disney movies like The Beatles, The Beach Boys, and The Bee Gees. One thing he did not like cussing. That 15-year-old boy did not like cussing. He said, it just makes me feel really offended. Hatch's parents are authors of a book titled Raising a G-Rated Family in an X-Rated World. Profanity was friends in elementary school ever swore, but it seemed like when they got to middle school, everyone started cursing. When he started high school, Hatch ratcheted around him. He thought he'd be shunned, but surprisingly, his friends agreed. Then when McKay's Hatch started a no-cussing club, he started it. In his quiet against foul language, Hatch has issued a no-cussing challenge through his website, and his book was published. Hatch's no-cussing club boasts of 30,000 members worldwide. A 15-year-old boy. Hatch has gotten a lot. His squeaky clean message has also sparked plenty of hate. Sadly, Hatch says some people in high school went out of their way to curse him at school on the web and on the death threats. That prompted local police and the FBI to get involved. Hatch says, you know, at first it was really kind of scary, but so I'm not going to let them win. Hatch says that he's not trying to take away anyone's freedom of speech, just challenging them to... What a young man. What a young man. This should be the goal of all of us, to clean up our language, to delete all expletive in honor to God with our lips. We're to guard our hearts, the Bible says, from what we listen to, what we read. Otherwise, we take on that same. I started a dealership several years ago. And when I started, I had some sales. Not all automobile sales guys swear, by the way. But these did. And when I started, I didn't. And knowing me, I was pretty vocal. Still am. Never leave this company, you'll be just like us. I worked there for 18 years. And at the 18 years, I was still witnessing the Jesus Christ. Some come to the Lord, some didn't. Some made fun of me. Who cares? But I want us all to stand right. In your Christian walk, to become Christ-like is to be sanctified in your speech. God knows what He's doing. All these things I preach on, abundantly wonderful. Not perfect. You'll still have trials. You'll still have troubles. But I tell you, when we obey God, He'll take the problems that we have. We're entering a time of the world that miracles are going to come into families. Why not prepare our lives right now to be where we should be when they happen? Amen? And with every pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus. I want to do that today. I want to be a man or a woman of God, whatever you are. Life to Christ. Is there anybody? I know it's a little down here today, but I still like to ask it anyway. Now I would like to say, everybody in here with me, because we're all tempted to do it, or about anybody else, you need to get your life right with Christ. Nobody, you can't get anybody else's. Only you can do that with the Lord. And I want to challenge everybody with my speech, with my lips. They haven't been where they should be. And so today, I'm going to come before God and say, God, help me. Together, we're all tempted to do it. Even I am. We need that help, people. We're going to see a mighty move of God. Are looking for His coming and are going to be aware of what's happening in the world today. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus when you're coming up here, listen. But if you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I want to pray and give my life to Jesus. I want to be the person that God wants me to be. One of us, and you watching by social media, you can do the same thing in your home, wherever you're watching from. But we're living in dangerous times. We're seeing things happen around the world, things good and bad happening in a volume within the political season. Christians are going to be attacked more and more. How are we going to respond? It says to be holy people, sanctified before an ungodly world that's going to come after us. And by how we respond back to them will determine. So how many want us? Just pray, pray a prayer with me. I'm going to pray a prayer. We like to do this. God's doing things in this altar. That's why I didn't feel a thing. It had nothing to do with your feelings. You may get in the car and go down, the Holy Spirit may all of a sudden slap on something on you. You start to realize, wow. Again, want to agree with my brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're all in the same world. We're all being tempted and challenged in the way we live our now. Heavenly Father, say it out loud with me. I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. First, Lord Jesus, for using your name in the wrong way, I ask for forgiveness. Lord, I ask you right now, and my speech. You've given me a mind, the mind of Christ. Lord, help me to use that mind to minister to others, to edify others, including myself. Take away from my language, profanity from me. Convict me, Lord, anytime I use words that do not in vain, or I use in trivial ways. Help me, Lord, to be aware of them, discerning of myself. That are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Help me to come to them with love and say, are you aware of your speech? To grow too. Lord, help me when I'm in the world and there's people around me and they're using fire. The time works where I can be bold and address it in a godly way when I say that will touch their hearts to make them aware of it. Again, not to control, not to plant a seed in their hearts. But Lord, let it start with me. Let it start with me. Be applied to my lips, to my tongue, to my vocal cords. And Lord, help me to examine my heart in it. And I surrender it to you and ask you to be Lord of my speech. And I thank you for that, Jesus. I know, Lord, I'm going to have the victory. Help me to glorify you in all that I say, in all that I do, in the days ahead. Me, or me to them that need to hear about you. That I may glorify you. In Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to make it, right? We're all going to make it. We're all going to encourage each other in the days ahead. Because nobody asking, help us all to be together, the body of Christ. And we're going to watch what God is going to do in the days ahead in this world. I tell you, God are going to be excited. They're going to be excited. God is bringing judgment into the world, but at the same time, he's going to do so. Amen? Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, touch my brothers and sisters. Touch their homes, their life, their health. Lord, move in their city. Not to be dismayed, discouraged. Help them to have a sense of expectation. Know that one day this thing will stop. And it will. In their hearts, Father. Meet every need they have. Guide them. Help them. Use them for your glory. And we give you all the praise. Amen. Look at somebody and say, help me.
Help me.
I'm going to make it.